Right, good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, November 3rd, 2016, and this is Before the First Cup with Jules here at UCY.TV. Happy Thursday, everyone. It is a soggy 56 degrees and raining here again in upstate New York. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show 21st Century WMDs. The Terminator Conundrum and the Robot Wars. We looked at all kinds of different stuff, but we mainly dedicated the show yesterday to reading an article that came out of the New York Times that was all about developing killer robots and how that was going to work out for you and me. How these killer robots are becoming autonomous, and they already have autonomous killer robots, and what that is going to mean for our future. That's where they came up with the Terminator Conundrum, kill all humans. How do we stop them from killing all humans? Well, that question will probably be answered when it is just a little bit too late, because this has tipped off now a global killer robot arms race. And this isn't just robots. We are talking about 21st century medicine in general. I mean, I joke about the coming killer robots, but it's not really a joke, because they are developing machines that can reason, right? We've looked at a lot of that. Now we have cloud learning robots. One learns and the whole million robots learn as they upload their new skills to the cloud. But not only do we have this autonomous learning, they're testing. We saw this study that they were running here that they already have facilities to test identifying people utilizing different types of facial recognition software. And we just saw that one recently out of Israel that was pretty disturbing, that actually used facial features that could be tied back to genetic traits to determine whether or not, statistically speaking, your genes might make you a future criminal or terrorist. You know, we're talking pre-crime, minority report type stuff coming now, and we're going to have these patrolling drones that will autonomously be trying to determine whether or not you are friend or foe, whether or not you are carrying something that it might distinguish as a weapon. You know, we looked at the Squad X, which is the other DARPA program for full situational awareness, and that is combining troops and air, sea, and land robots to all work together as a squadron and give them full out and out awareness of what is going on, utilizing surveillance technologies. You know, we read about the new motherships for the DARPA drones that are going to be launched en masse under the sea. Just saw some more about that today, but didn't get that far. I want to finish what we're looking at today. You know, and DARPA has been in the middle not only of artificial intelligence and robotics, funding all these different projects. They have so many of them going on. But remember, they've been working on universal flu vaccines way, 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 way back when. And now shape-shifting immune systems that can fight killer viruses when they appear and adapt in real time. They're doing that also with antiviruses to actually create their own Skynet. Can take over the internet of everything, and be the main controller. Keep an eye on it all. Make sure it's all safe. Let it think and learn. And every input, every interaction that we have with these devices is making them smarter. And that's the one thing that's disturbing. We have all of these executive orders and different federal edicts across the board that has brought these technologies into our daily lives. They've paved the way for these to grow and be growth technologies for the 21st century. But as this is all happening, the world that we once knew, the world that we grew up with, the world of the 20th century, is going to be snuffed out. And we have these disruptive technologies that are about ready to turn things upside down on our heads and remake the world we once knew and loved. You know, they're going balls out with movies and different TV shows. We've been pointing out here all about going to space, all about high tech. I actually saw a commercial the other day when we watched that Arnold movie. For the Cyber Patrol Defense Military Division, they are recruiting. If you want to be a hacker, if you're good with computers, Jenny, we want you because you need to protect the homeland. We'll teach you how to wage war online. It really is the new place. You know, it's not going to be bloody man against man on a battlefield anymore. We saw a story a few days back. RT said that by 2025, they were going to replace 50% of all soldiers with robotics. We also discovered that the wars of the future are going to be fought online, and not only online, but in space. They're going to be coming for our infrastructure, trying to take bits and pieces down because everything's on here. Our power, our banking, our connectivity to the world. It would be very easy to really damage a country by just doing an EMP or some sort of virus, kind of like we did to Iran with that Stuxnet and took out their nuclear reactors. And, you know, don't forget, we have lots of foreign actors out there that we piss right off. There's lots of them. This is like being a dysfunctional friend. I have one of those. Sucks you in. Uses you for whatever they need to use you for. And then facepalms you right back out again onto the curb like you're a piece of garbage until the next time they need you. You know, the United States does that to a lot of different countries. And if you don't play nice, then they declare war on you and they invade. I don't know. They send in the International Monetary Fund and then the UN troops. And they quote-unquote liberate your country is what happens. And once everything is destroyed, then we can send in all of our third-party contractors and make all the bazillions of dollars as they rebuild you in the new 21st century vision of the global connected governments. You will become a part of the empire. But, you know, this isn't happening just now at a level for government, for this takeover. You know, that's the way it used to be. Oh, look, we got a puppet ruler in this country, so they're ours. And that country over there is part of the axis of evil because they won't play along with us. Well, it's not like that anymore. We now have these other ways that they are getting into the back door of every single country on the planet, into every single human on the planet. They want to conquer you. This isn't about conquering your country anymore. It's about conquering you. Stanford scientists, we will have a century of medical advances in just the next decade. And you know what? Medicine is how they're doing it. We've talked about this for so long, this Precision Medicine Initiative, getting these little nano-robot-y doctors inside of your body. It's going to be how they can manipulate and control down to a cellular level. Guys, we will not be invaded by armies, or at least armies of humans. We will be invaded by armies of small little robots. I know it sounds ridiculous, but it's not. that will all be sold to us in the name of the dangling carrot with the promise of being healthy and potentially living forever. We talked about the tech titans, many, many, many of these big tech companies have all been dumping tons and tons of their billions of dollars into longevity research that will allow humans to live long beyond their current lifespan. You know, we have the Google Verily division that's working on their life sciences. We have DARPA that is working on all kinds of genetic manipulation to not only discover which buttons to push, but also to discover which switches to flip, which drugs to make. They're coming at this from every single direction, people. And that's what's frightening, because our little puny human brains, it's very difficult to keep up with the technology that's coming. We don't have these in the lab. We have absolutely no idea, really, in essence, what they're doing. We could just kind of find out after the fact. But there was even a story that came out of ABC News. This is in 2012. And, people used to say 2012 was the end of the Mayan calendar and everybody freaked out. But I'm going to tell you what, 2012 was really kind of a pivotal year. You know, Obama got reelected. He'd already set the stage for, like, how to destroy America before that. After he got his Peace Prize. In 2012, all kinds of Pandoras got let out of the boxes that are now swirling, kind of like from the Indiana Jones movie. If you remember when the Nazis had the Ark and they opened it up and all those ghosts came out and made people's faces melt. Well, that's kind of the way I see it now. They've let all this stuff out. Whose face is going to melt first? Hopefully it's not ours. Hopefully this stuff doesn't turn on us. But we are reaching for things that I don't think as humans we have earned. We have not earned through our behavior or our perfection, because we're not perfect. There are many of us that are way more imperfect than others, like ones with mental disorders that want to rule the world, want to kill a large majority of the people on this planet. Because why? Oh, you're useless eaters. And because of us, the planet is in climate change. You know, this whole story, they're megalomaniacs. They're trying to regroom the human race in their own image. They want to be gods. Well, anyone who is reaching to be a god, if you remember what happened in the stories, don't eat the apple. Do not eat the poison apple. Don't step right up for any of these treatments. You know, they got my dad. I was pretty sure my dad would never do this. We've had a couple conversations now, and he said if push came to shove, and these were his last days, and they had some chance that they could, you know, try some experimental treatment, he'd do it. And I've talked about that so many times. That's how they're working this. They are targeting the desperate who really don't have any other chance and utilizing them as guinea pigs. And they make it sound like, oh, they're humanitarian. It's so wonderful. This is all going to be for you and me. And we know that it's not. What it ended up doing was giving the pharmaceutical companies a free R&D line item budget. So they don't need to pay for R&D anymore. It's not free. It is now, out of the blue, become ethical to experiment on humans in 2016. It was something that wasn't even possible up until just very recently. You know, we had onesie-twosie little experiments going on with clinical trials with desperate people. But most of the time, the pharmaceutical companies did not want to have a bad outcome. And so they typically wouldn't even chance it. Most cases, if you look like you were in bad shape. Because you know why? If you died, their stock would go down. We read a few stories about that a few years ago. Well, now things have changed because it's all about balls out human testing. And because experimentation on humans, like I said, had always kind of been considered unethical, now that they've opened this floodgate, hey, anybody who's willing to step right up, I'm sure they'll be able to find an experiment to do on you and test some of their new toys and some of their new mad science. So here we have this precision medicine initiative that doesn't only include splicing and dicing humans, but it includes synthetic biology, brand new drugs made with X and Y, amino acids, stuff that's never been seen before on planet Earth or in the universe. They're going to start making drugs out of it. Eventually, they might even start splicing them into living organisms to see what other kinds of superpowers they can give them. So, as they've been rolling this all out, they've been really rolling this into the mainstream just over the last month or two, maybe even six, let's say. We've seen a lot of the topics that we've covered in the last 3 or 4 years on the show becoming mainstream. We have seen the media talking about nanobots, talking about self-driving vehicles, talking about living forever, talking about curing cancer, talking about autonomous robots, talking about super intelligent robots that are doing cancer diagnosis, such as Watson, Charlie Rose on 60 Minutes. They are trying to put this now into the mainstream consciousness because they are ready to open all the doors. And that's what I was saying. This isn't just a battlefield for countries anymore. This isn't just warfare to increase the empire. They are now stepping this game up. And we no longer want to be the kings of the empire. We want to be the gods of the empire that's called Earth. Because remember, we are now pushing to become a multi-planetary species. And that is, again, another executive order. Gonna rule space. Space telescopes. We're gonna go to Moon and the Mars. Commercialization to start mining. Gonna start landing on asteroids. And it's coming. This is a very scary progression. And this whole one new world order thing, I think, is very real. And it's not just real, like I said, knocking off country by country, because that's just about done. They've destabilized a good part of the world now. And a lot of those other places that they needed to kind of wipe off the chessboard are in shambles right now. Maybe we'll be able to send in fixer-upper robots to go fix those countries. Like that Valkyrie we talked about a couple times now, that NASA Robotics Challenge was first created for the DARPA Robotics Challenge for disaster relief. Now they're thinking about using Valkyrie on the space station to do repairs and send them to Mars to build structures and power generation. And hey, even if we have a disaster on planet Earth, we can dispatch a whole entire squadron of these Valkyries to go help fix things up. Okay, so the next conquering will be at a biological level. And ABC tells us so. Scientists may be able to make substantial gains in extending not only the length of human life, but also the quality of life as we age, according to many researchers. And that will not be limited to our breakthroughs in the laboratory. To a significant extent, it will depend on how we live our lives. And as for scientists, first they have to answer a very basic question. Why do humans live longer than any other mammals? And I mean, this longevity research now, this was 2012. It's kind of when it kicked off in the mainstream, but I can guarantee you that they've been working on the Fountain of Youth for hundreds, you know, thousands of years, we discovered Peter Thiel, one of the founders of PayPal, another rich tech billionaire. Peter Thiel is investing in that parabiosis. We read about that a few times. First time was just parabiosis in general, and then Peter Thiel's backing of it. But that was the discovery that when they take young blood out of a young creature and they splice it, tie it together, veins and arteries, and they splice it to an older animal so the blood pumps between the two, that there's something in that young blood that rejuvenates the old creature. And all your cells starts to come back and all the degeneration tends to go away. And that young creature that is receiving your old blood has the same effect but in the reverse, where they become old, they start to degenerate. So, you know, stuff like that we discovered when we first dug into parabiosis, that they've been messing around with parabiosis for at least a few hundred years. And like I said, just because something is in the public eye doesn't mean that it has not been going on down dark corridors and bloody doors for a very long time outside of the limelight. For starters, anyway, we are big. Long ago, scientists recognized the relationship between body size and longevity, and humans just narrowly edge out the elephant to win the Olympic gold for living longer. But recent research reveals that that is just a part of the story. We have huge brains, hence there is now that whole brain initiative, another thing that DARPA is involved in, and all the tech billionaires and the universities. Remember, there are key points here to these technologies that they are undertaking now for the 21st century. It is to be able to conquer all of biology, all of nature, and incorporate some sort of device or probe that might be used to manipulate the biological processes so we can be controlled. We can be tracked and monitored. Says, during most of recorded history, any human who reached their mid-30s back in the old, old days had beaten the system. And over the past century, we gained global averages of 30 years of about 25, which are attributed to improvements in public health, according to federal statistics. Today, the global life expectancy is 67.2 years. And it is about 78 years in the United States, a few more in Japan, who is the world leader for long life. But genetics, of course, yes, genetics. Genetics are the alphabetic playground. Genetics, of course, play a key role in longevity. In recent years, we have entered the golden age of genetics. And Obama got really behind that in regards to the Precision Medicine Initiative. Remember, we found out 23andMe, swipe your cheek. Find out whether or not Nana is related to royalty. Check that little box, and we will share your DNA information profile with the National Institute of Health, who then makes it available to all kinds of different researchers to utilize your information to try to find the strengths and weaknesses and the Achilles heels in human DNA, splice and dice and mix and match, scan it to see how we can identify diseases, and then let's monetize that information to be able to create new drugs that act at a genetic level that could turn switches on and off, maybe even little nanorobot doctors. But guys, everything we give up to this machine is going to be working against us to enslave us at some point in the future. And I don't care how much they tell you it's going to cure you. Once they get that stuff inside of you, remember, you become a genetically modified organism. Just like they're GMOing all of our food supply, they want to GMO all of the humans. They are trying to recreate all life here on Earth and the planet itself in their own image, to quote-unquote perfect it, because we are so imperfect. This is where the danger comes in. This is where the hubris is. This is where we think that we are smarter than all of creation. And us as humans are going to be able to create new forms of life, whether it be some sort of artificial intelligence or some sort of synthetic biology. We think we're going to create a new life form and be able to control it. We think that we are still going to be the rulers on this rock. And I hate to tell you, but we won't be. Not even these lunatics in charge that are doing this mad science gone mad are going to be able to keep their hands on these tempests that they're getting ready to release on all of humanity. Anyway, so let's get back here now. And I might have lost that story. I don't know. My mouse is doing weird stuff today. We're like, it clicks, but it really doesn't click, or it clicks and then it closes something. Oh, and look at it. Somehow, yeah, there really is something going on with my mouse, because not only did it accidentally kill the story I was reading and the next story, but it killed the third story there too. How did that even happen? All right, let me get these back open again. Thank God for recent closed history. All right, Stanford scientists, we will have a century of medical advances in the next decade. So we've talked about that law of exponential returns. Kurzweil's talked about it a lot of times, where technology begets technology. We're at that point right now. There is no more wanting for speed. All those years, it needed to be faster. It needed to be bigger. No, not anymore. We have cloud computing. We have behemoths out there that'll sell you anything. Software as a service, computing power at a service, storage as a service. All you got to do is have some cash. You can do anything you want. That's why these tech billionaires are running the gamut here. Government agencies, anyone who has the money now to dump into this insane technology is going to make bazillions of dollars and be the ones who win, standing on top of the pile of garbage that they create underneath. Looking beyond gadgets. So here we're going to have medical advances now that would have in the past taken 100 years, happening in just the next 10. Law of exponential returns. And I'm telling you, be careful what you ask for. 10 years from now, this world will be very different than it is today. Just this year alone, we have seen several tech companies jump into medical research. Oh, surprise! From Sean Parker, and we read about Sean Parker. He actually was a Facebook billionaire in the past. Sean Parker put in $250 million to fight cancer, to the birth of Google's Life Sciences Research Division, where innovators around the world teaming up to help humans live longer. And remember, we also saw Zuckerberg is going to donate his entire fortune to cure all disease, and Microsoft says within the next 10 years, they're planning on curing cancer as well. And the latest to join were Mark Zuckerberg and his wife, Priscilla Chan, launching Chan Zuckerberg Initiative. And this is the one I just mentioned, a $3 billion program, which aims to prevent, manage, and cure all disease. The technology industry has entered the field of medicine and aims to eliminate disease itself. Now, that's got to be frightening. That was something that Kurzweil said in the very beginning when he went to go work for Google, is that we were going to try to cure death itself as a disease. We're going to try and cheat death. We're going to try and cheat Mother Nature. This whole thing we have with recycling and how the planet works, and it's so beautiful. And yeah, nobody wants to die. But like I've said before, we make way for the future. And if we did not die and we live forever, then you could not be reproducing, because there wouldn't be enough room on this rock. We would be an uncontrollable cancer. Well, that's what they're aiming to do. It may well succeed, of course, this eliminating disease itself, because of a convergence of exponentially advancing technologies, ding, 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 such as computing, artificial intelligence, sensors, and genomic sequencing, everything we've talked about. And those sensors are going to be those little nano robot doctors inside of your body that'll be able to do a 24/7 real-time dashboard on whether or not little Johnny is operating within parameters. There will be somebody out there, even maybe an AI, that is managing and monitoring that. And every time you move out of parameters or do something you're not supposed to be doing, Johnny, keep those cookies out of your mouth. There will be some sort of intervention. We are going to see more medical advances in this next decade than has happened in the last century. And innovation will be the key. And that things like wearable technologies, ding, 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 that monitor our health, and soon to be little implantables. We've looked at so many of those little dust motes they want to get into us. As well as genome sequencing are among the most interesting and revolutionary developments today. These will allow us to enter into a new era of personalized health. And in so doing, they will utterly transform our lives and longevity, allowing us to predict and prevent diseases as never before. Caution. There is no free lunch, people. Caveat emptor. They are calling all the little mousies to the cheese, and that cheese is laced with strychnine. I mean, there's a chance. There's absolutely a chance. If you want to step right up and be a guinea pig, because you have no other chances left. It's possible. I'm not going to say it's not. Then maybe you'll get lucky. And maybe, just maybe, they'll be able to cure what is about ready to take you out. But once that happens, what are you? Are you a free individual anymore? You have their technology inside of you that can monitor, bag tag, and make changes on the fly. I mean, they are so advanced right now. And I don't believe any of these stories that try to tell you, nah, you know, 20 years from now, don't worry about it now. It's not happening. It is happening. It is happening. And they are doing things, and they are really advanced, and they have institutes like the Weiss Institute who are pretty far down the path in manufacturing synthetic biology. You know, they don't tell you how far advanced they are until it's too late. And right now, they're trying not to get people scared by all this. They're trying to get you to open your arms, stop being that resistant consumer and Luddite, and love the technology that we've addicted you to so much so that you want to accept it. You want to make a communion with this technology to take it inside of you and merge with the machine. That's what this is about. The machine is just not a tin can. The machine is all of technology. The machine is connecting you as a node to the Internet of Things, where they will be able to monitor, bag, and tag 24/7 and make sure that you are operating within parameters just like any other device out on the network. They assert notable advances like the Human Genome Project, which has made advances in biotechnology and synthetic biology possible and are leading a new generation in medicine. Of course, we also have to mention CRISPR, ding, and we're going to talk about CRISPR here in a little bit. Thanks to the state-of-the-art genetic editing tool, we have, quote, the most amazing and the most scary genetic technology of all, unquote. Now, we've talked about how scary that is. We mentioned it again yesterday, DIY CRISPR editing in mommy's back bedroom. Clapper came out, told the Senate Armed Services Committee that CRISPR and gene editing is one of the new 21st century WMDs. They can mutate life from every walk of life. Remember, we have databases now for DNA for all the different creatures on this planet. We have programming languages that allow us to program cells just like little computer programs. We have viruses that we can use to infect bacteria, and the bacteria can then go in and invade a cell loaded with a payload that was injected through that virus and genetically modify the organism that then gets infected by that bacteria. And we're going to look at some of that too. So what other transformative advances are taking place? Well, there's the microbiome. We spent a lot of time on that also. Calling it the next big medical frontier. There is so much research now going into the microbiome and how to manipulate it and how to use it to control different processes within the body. There was one we read about in MIT Technology Review. I'm trying to remember the name of the company. Synlogic. Synlogic has investments from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation as well. Synlogic is the creation. They're making synthetic gut bacteria that'll be able to go in, little programmable bacterium that they can put payloads into, and they can even genetically modify them. So on the fly, they can create drugs inside of your body to tamp down on issues such as inflammation. And that gut bacteria, it's pretty easy to get into you, whether it be through your environment or your food, or just taking a little pill. But you don't even have to take a little pill. You can just put it in your food and you'd never even know it. And as we get rid of all these labeling laws and they start messing with what's considered organic and not, whether or not there's even any organic labels, you know, they tried to go after that. And I really think here with this next round of whoever the coronation is going to dub our new ruler, I think that's even going to get dicier. You know, we looked at some of those international trade agreements and a lot of them just got rid of all labeling because, hey, just like the World Trade Organization pushed us to remove our country of origin labeling on our meats, you know, TPP and the TIP are going to have stronger protections to protect all of these other countries. They can literally come in and sue us if they feel that their product is being unfairly represented in this country, so they can't maximize their sales because of, you know, a label we slapped on it or whatever. So I think we're going to have even more of that. You don't need to know what's in your food, and you don't need to know where it comes from. So go back to sleep. These bacterial systems in the microbiome within our body affect us more than we know, and we are finally coming to understand them. And remember, it's not just about the microbiome in our bodies. We found out we have five different bacterial cultures that all work together and fight. They fight and they're friends on our bodies to fuel a lot of our biological processes. But we also have the same sorts of bacterium that live in the soil. Soil is like a big organism. And as we're spraying pesticides, we're killing this microbiome. So all of the bad bacteria can get in there and take over. They've been finding the same thing when we eat foods that are laced with glyphosate. Dr. Huber says it's a potent antibiotic. It completely decimates your gut bacteria, and then your health suffers because all the bad bacteria overgrow and aren't kept in check. And that can affect everything from your physical health, your digestion, your absorption, and your mental health as well. In reality, there are 10 times as many microbes in our bodies as cells, and we've read about that before. This is a field that we are very excited about because it takes us back to looking at the human organism as a whole. And the microbiome may be the missing link between our environment, genomics, and human health. There are also advances in 3D printing, prosthetics, and bionics. We've talked about that also. They have now the ability to mind control some of these devices. And we just saw recently they had some little brain implant that connected a prosthetic device. So not only could the person move it with thought, but they actually had feeling on the fingers. And that was a first. The next big break in medical research will be brought to us by all of these emerging technologies. And the companies have a motivation to keep us healthy. Yeah, it's called profit and godhood. So that we download more applications rather than remain hooked on prescription medicine. Yeah, so download an update, Johnny, for your little nanobots in your bloodstream. Pay your licensing fee. Because now you belong to Big Pharma and the tech companies. Once you accept that poison apple. And then we, the rich tech billionaires, will be able to tell you, you can live forever. And in parentheses, for as long as you can afford it. I mean, guys, this is going to make the big cut between the haves and the have-nots. Remember, we were talking about augmentation as well. CRISPR in humans, China is ahead of the game on that, of course, because they don't follow the same rules that are at least officially on the plate. China has that big cloning factory. They want to be able to pump out a million cattle and bomb-sniffing dogs and things within a year. And it's also set up to create humans, but don't worry about it because the world's not ready for that. Chinese cloning factory boss pledges that he won't make Frankenstein humans just yet. Well, thank goodness. The world's largest cloning factory, and this happens to be the one in China, has capabilities to create human clones. But will it? Well, China's cloning giant Boya Life Group will soon be producing 1 million replicated cows each year. Remember, China is also the country that took some of the breast milk genes out of humans and spliced them into cows. So they had this experiment going on with cows that produce human breast milk. And it really, I didn't hear much of anything else after that. But then came this whole thing about this cloning factory, and they're going to clone a million cows a year, and they're like, oh yeah, it's for climate change and it gets rid of factory farming, it could be all clean and we can clone them. Well, you know, makes me wonder where those breast milk genes went to, and they might, I don't know, I really don't know, but we're going to have 1 million replicated cows, and now this Boya Life Group has added hundreds of cloned bomb-sniffing dogs to the worldwide anti-terrorism campaign. But the company's chief executive insists that humans will not be on the agenda anytime soon, even if the technology permits it. And remember, a couple things about China. China has a whole generation or two of boys with no wives. Ding. And if you have no wives, that means there's a whole generation of or two of your citizens will not necessarily be procreating. That means you have a drop in population. And if you are a warring type society, that means that you have fewer soldiers to put into your armed services. Now, don't worry about that, though, because in China, factories such as Foxconn are replacing 60,000 workers at a pop with robots developed out of South Korea. And I found a story the other day. You know, Foxconn replaced 60,000 workers in one fell swoop. But Foxconn made an announcement back a few years ago. I believe the story was out of 2011. Their long-term plan is to replace up to 1 million workers with robots. So, I mean, 60,000 is just one little teeny tiny drop in the bucket. And not only are they planning on replacing up to 1 million workers, But they are also trying to buy their own robotics manufacturer. So, guys, they have democratized this technology to where anyone and everyone can be producing, you know, I don't know, killer robots or CRISPR in the TARDIS for whatever type of life form might be helpful today. Let's splice and dice some bacterium to do something for us and then let it loose in the environment with nobody watching the store. And it's beyond frightening. This really is like if you ever tried to grasp what the Tower of Babel was supposed to be. I always thought it was about languages, but I think it's more than just languages. There's the language of life as well. I think the Tower of Babel is about everything getting mixed up. I mean, we are talking about the Isle of Dr. Monroe meets Doctor Who. It kind of, and it's very incredibly frightening. Boy of Life and its partners are building a giant plant. They already did. The story is a few years old. In the northern Chinese port of Tianjin, which I think is where they had that massive explosion back a year or two ago, where it will begin production by the end of this year. And let's see when this story was from. Story was from December of 2015, so we gotta be pretty close right now. While this factory initially will produce 100,000 embryos of prime beef cattle per year, the number is expected to rise to 1 million, according to NBC News. And the $30 million facility will also produce racehorses and specialized search and sniff dogs. Now, what is interesting about racehorses and what made me pull this story up yesterday to queue it up for today is as we were reading that Terminator conundrum yesterday in regards to creating killer robots and genetic modification, and then one of the devices that they had mentioned, they had called the Centaur. It's one of their new war machines, and I don't remember if it was a robot or a human or what it was, but regardless, the Centaur was a half man, half horse. And here we have this cloning factory. It's going to be reproducing cattle, oh, resources too, and bomb sniffing dogs. They were set up for messing with humans. And by the way, China's way ahead of us in CRISPRing humans as well. It only makes you think that, you know, when I joke about the Minotaur is coming or the future soldiers having wings, laser vision, and fangs, it isn't so funny anymore. What would we do if a foreign actor had some sort of large capacity cloning factory that could start pumping out these abominations of genetic modification and then release them upon us? We found out yesterday that with these autonomous killing weapons, countries that don't like us very much could very easily drop them overhead and start wreaking havoc on parts of our nation long before we could mount some sort of counterattack. It's a very frightening scenario. You know, we haven't had to worry about invasion in this country in a very long time. And I just saw something yesterday, and I don't know what the validity of it is. It was late last night, but Iran announced that they're sending Iranian National Guard to infiltrate the United States and Europe. Did you see that? They're going to get sleeper cells here. I don't know what that's all about, but that's totally not cool. We've been pushing those buttons. A lot of these countries, and they don't like us very much anymore. Our imperialism has gone beyond imperialism to out-and-out genocide and complete megalomania to where we don't give two shits anymore about whether or not you're a sovereign nation or who rules your country, because you know what, bitch? We're going to tell you what to do. Well, hey, you know what? They talked about this on anti-media the last couple nights. It is the end of an empire. We are the last remaining empire of the days of old. We're still pretty young comparatively, only a few hundred years old, but it's coming to an end. It's coming to an end. And they think that this technology is going to put us back on top again. Oh, no, it isn't. This technology is creating an arms race. It's going to be the race to the end of the pot. We can release all of these different technologies and hope somebody's going to win. But in the end, biology's going to lose. Then we have people like Elon Musk saying that we're going to transport 1 million people to Mars, all in the name of saving the human race. And it makes you wonder why. Well, Musk is one of those tech billionaires in the know. And I think it's going to get much uglier on this planet and not get better in the end. I just, looking down the timelines, there aren't too many permutations left there. We're down to like 2, 3, 4, maybe even 10 timelines of potential, not too distant futures. And none of them looks utopic at all. None. Boy Life is already working with its South Korean partner. Remember, South Korea is our bitch already. We have been there for a very long time. And South Korea creates all kinds of mad science for us. South Korea partner SOAM, S-O-O-A-M, and the Chinese Academy of Sciences to improve primate cloning capacity to better test animals for disease research in humans are just a short biological step from monkeys. And the research has bred concerns about human cloning. In an interview with NBC News, Chief Executive Dr. Zhu Qingchong, Dr. Zhu Xiangchong, assures that so far, no such thing has taken place. Don't worry about it. We don't have any human clones. No, no, no. We don't do human cloning, he says. We will not make Frankensteins, he said. Well, phew. And I take your word for it, Dr. Zhu Xiangchong. The technology we have is very advanced, but if uncontrolled, ding, technology can do damage. And every technology has to have a boundary. So for now, Boy Life has its sights primarily set on meat production. Our primary focus is quality beef, and the cloning factory is soon to become the largest animal cloning operation in the world. And the chief executive says that this technology will have great impacts on humans. So far, Boy Life has cloned about 600 bomb-sniffing dogs in contribution to the global anti-terrorism efforts. Yeah, I guess China is working alongside. How messed up is that? Wink. We will only select the really top dogs for cloning, like selecting only those who could go to Harvard or Peking University, said Zhu. And the technology continues to move forward. Zhu says societal values are not yet keeping pace. And despite the potential benefits of cloning, humans are not quite yet ready to accept it. This is going to change as time passes. Technology is moving very fast. And social values can change. They may think this technology is going to benefit the human race as a whole. And then BioLife will move along with societal values. And once humans embrace the idea of cloning their own kind, BioLife can then turn its sights toward human replication. The technology is already there, said Zhu. And if this is allowed, I don't think there are other companies better than BioLife that can make better technology, i.e. cloned humans. Still, Zhu says that biological diversity is important and should be upheld. As cloning practices look to the future, different people have different characters, and we want to keep this diversity. We really do not want an entire society to become 1 billion Einsteins. Or do we? All right, so talking about bomb-sniffing dogs, we got a couple minutes left here. And splicing and dicing biology, yep, they did it. MIT bionic plants can now detect explosives. Scientists have transformed the humble spinach plant, yes, spinach people, into a bomb detector. By embedding tiny tubes in the plant's leaves, they can be made to pick up chemicals called nitroaromatics, which are found in landmines and other buried munitions. Real-time information can then be wirelessly relayed to a handheld device. MIT technology work is published in the journal Nature Materials, and the scientists implanted nanoparticles and carbon nanotubes into the leaves of a spinach plant. Guys, that's going to be us next. That poor spinach plant. They've assimilated spinach now. They've embedded nanoparticles and nanotubes into another living organism, and they have taken control of that organism. Free the spinach. They then delivered the nitroaromatics into the water that was taken up by the roots and directly to the leaves and the droplets. And it takes about 10 minutes for the spinach to take up the water via the roots into the leaves and to read that signal. Researchers shone a light out of the leaf, prompting the embedded nanotubes to emit near-infrared fluorescent light. This can be detected with a small infrared camera connected to a small, cheap Raspberry Pi computer. And the signal can also be detected by a smartphone that removes the infrared filter that most of them have. So, such plants could be used to monitor groundwater seepage from buried munitions or waste that contains nitroaromatics. So, don't worry about it. We now have nanobionic spinach plants. And that is going to be just the beginning of what we can hope to expect for the future. All right, guys, if you can even believe it, that was another whole hour gone. Make sure you stick around. If you missed Drew Kuhn's new show, I'm going to re-air it today. Drew is not quite ready for number two. Make sure you stick around. Tonight is Thursday, all kinds of live radio. And I will catch up with you tomorrow. Everybody take care.
This is Ozzy Skateboard.